Jimmy Pyle don't tell you what to do homework, so we gotta get a move.
He got a TV show you gotta watch.
Y'all ready? All right, we'll go ahead and call this February 8th regular scheduled Westminster City Council meeting to order. If you would, please stand, and we're gonna ask Mr. Henry Jenkins to give the invocation and the pledge of allegiance.
Salute. Pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let us bow for prayer. To God be the glory. Heavenly Father, once again, you have allowed us to see another day, a day that we should never see again. And for this blessing, we want to say thank you. We come at this time thanking you for those that are taking time out of their schedules to do those things that they have been assigned to do. We pray, that what will be discussed tonight will be pleasing in your sight. And we do that because what we do on this side of Jordan will assure us that we will have a heavenly home. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we certify a quorum.
I certify a quorum.
All right, anybody sign up for public comments? Comments from mayor and council. Anybody on the council have anything they want to say? All right. Move on to presentation and recognition of the retirement of police dog Lena.
I'm
going to
turn that over to Chief Patterson.
Thank y'all. Lena, or Lena, as we rednecks call her, she turned 7 in December, and she served the city of Westminster greatly. I didn't bring numbers exactly how many cases she went through this, but it's been several cases. Taking a lot of illegal drugs and things off the street. Being as she's 7 years old, she served us well. I was her 5th handler, and just didn't feel like she needed to go to another handler. You get into some legalistic problems then. So we felt like it was best that she would retire. She's been a great asset to us, to the police department, and to the city. And we want to thank her for her service. She couldn't be here because she's retired now and she kind of needs to do what she wants to do. So she decided she didn't want to come. Tried to take her for a bath the other day. She just wasn't happy. So she's grumpy. She's old, retired dog now. But thank y'all for allowing her to serve the city.
Well, thank you, Matt. All right, we have nothing under old business. We'll move on to new business. Item 1, accept resignation of Mr. Cater and declare 1 city council seat vacant and open for the unfulfilled terms. Mr. Brunson, do we need anything on that or just...
I'm going to ask Mr. Holliday. I think when we accepted Mr. Chastain and Mr. Duncan's resignation, council just moved to accept their resignations and then that vacated the seats?
My recollection is yes. There was just a motion made to declare the vacancy. And we decided to do this one in today because Rusty's wasn't effective till the 31st.
So Mayor and Council, if you're inclined to accept this resignation, you'd make a motion that you accept the resignation and the seat held by Mr. Cater is declared vacant and open.
And just as a point of clarification, my understanding from the county elections office is that the date of the election that has been set was based off of the 31st.
Yes.
All right, do we have a motion?
Motion.
We need a second.
Second.
Motion a second. Call for a vote, please.
Brian?
Yes.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Yusuf?
Yes.
Dale?
Yes.
Item 2, Ordinance 2022-2-08-01. Ordinance authorizing the mayor of the City of Westminster to serve as a member of the Oconee Joint Regional Sewer Authority Commission, South Carolina, ex officio, and other matters related thereto. We have a copy of the ordinance. Mr. Brunson, would you explain this?
Yes, sir, Mayor. So in order for you as the mayor or any of the city council members to serve on the OJRSA board, there needs to be some language on either amongst you as the city council or amongst the OJRSA bylaws that gives it to you by right, meaning in an ex officio capacity, which means that as a privilege of your office, you also serve on that board. Without that, there is some complexities or ambiguities in state law and attorney general's opinion as to whether or not that would be dual office holding if those provisions haven't been made on one or both sides of what I'm going to call the aisle, meaning one at the sewer authority or one here. By way of example, at PMPA, the Piedmont Municipal Power Agency, those bylaws incorporate by right that a mayor and administrator can serve on that board in what they call ex officio, not meaning in a non-voting way, but again, by right of your office, you can have service on those boards. And that covers that covers me going over there as your administrator, covers the mayor, covers any of you who have served on the PMPA in that regard. The same thing, because we were, what I'm going to call, there's some complexities or some vagaries in state law as to whether or not it would be dual office holding without there being an ex officio statement either being on the Westminster City side or the OJRSA bylaw side, and there's nothing in the bylaws that gives any of you to do that by right. And consulting with the attorneys, we thought it was out of an abundance of caution that you pass this ordinance making it so, and we named you, Mayor, as that seat holder in this ordinance. Did I explain that well enough?
Does everybody understand that while we're doing it?
So the ordinance is in front of you tonight for your consideration, because right now the Westminster's only representative is Mr. Baker, and I'm not qualified since I'm not a resident of Oconee County, so that you may choose either amongst yourselves or the way the ordinance is written that it would be the mayor. If you vote that in tonight, that's on second reading, it would become so.
Need a motion.
Second.
Any further discussion? Call for a vote, please.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Yusuf?
Yes.
Dale?
Yes.
Vaughn?
Do I vote?
You've got enough. I think you can vote.
See both sides of this one.
I can recuse.
Why don't you go on the safe side?
Yeah.
I'll recuse. I'll recuse from the vote. Next item on the agenda, consider the contract price increase for Jenkins Lawn Care.
Mr. Mayor, I'm going to turn this over to Utilities Director Lee Baker. He's far more fluent in this. And Mr. Jenkins.
So thank you. So, Mr. Jenkins and myself have talked about some things. We've added some things to this contract, and we've changed some of the ways it does this contract. For instance, around this depot area, used to be immediate, because zero turn moted. We've added some things for the beautification of the town, or call it what you will. We've added some park benches and other things, which ties up his time and adds more people to his time. Not counting, as everyone knows, the price of gas and everything else has gone up. So we sit down Monday or Tuesday, if you will. and talked about this, and he gave us what he thought was a fair supplement to what he's been currently paid because of the gas prices and what we've added. So he, so right now, Jenkins, he goes to Hampton pump station, comes all the way through, all the way up to Highway 76. It's not only counting the gas he's putting in his vehicle to get there, it's also counting the gas and all the machines he runs. His exponential went up as everyone's paying the same price. As well as Mr. Jenkins, is we've pinged him several times to be nice about it, to where we get a late notice he wants to use the park. He comes through on a Monday or the Friday before. Well, then that Friday, if we didn't tell him ahead of time to shift his schedule, he has to come back through and hit the park again for us to make sure it looks like it should for a festival or something going on there. So the request was put in there, and I talked to him about it. I think that's the bare minimum, I think, that we talked about. I mean, I'll throw it out there. I think that anything else you add to that would be fair. That was just to not even, I'd say, break even for the fuel prices alone. That doesn't cover his total cost, I didn't believe in that. I mean, it's up to you, Dr. Jenkins, but that was what he proposed to me. I think it was January, she did the same. I think it was 5% in the summer months, and in November, December, something like that. It's on that for now. I can't remember off the top of my head. I have it with me. I'm going to give my copy to Rebecca, actually.
Mr. Jenkins?
Yes.
These numbers we've got on here, is that sufficient to cover your costs?
Yes.
Okay. Anything else from council?
One thing I just looking back at the contract, and I completely support this from you. I think you're doing a great job on a lot of things. There's a couple places I'm not on Retreat Street, talking about keeping up Retreat Street from all the way to the end of the street. I'm not. Are you doing that, or are the residents taking care of that at this point?
Which street?
Retreat Street and Mimosa on the sidewalks. You handle that?
No. You're trimming the trees down through the right on the main drag.
Mimosa and Retreat.
Yeah. Right next to City Hall. Right part of City Hall. Go down to City Hall.
Yeah. Go down in front of City Hall. Mm-hmm.
Okay. In front of
the hotel.
Okay.
Now, yeah. Mm-hmm. From the hotel down past the creek.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But in fact, it goes from the hotel to that big white house that sits on the right.
On the right, that one that's empty right now. And you get Retreat Street also, right? All the way down to the end, where Mimosa comes in.
That one was Dr. Johnson. You remember that part?
No, I don't go down Retreat Street past the first, when you turn off of 123
okay.
to Retreat Street. Mm-hmm. I don't go past that first building on the right.
Okay. I agree. I think I'll vote support. You know, the price increase. We might want to take a look at a couple things in the future. Just want to read on some of this. And if you're looking at it, it's page 2 on the back near the end of the contract, 17 and 18. Item 17 and 18. But that's fine. But I'm just fine with everything else.
And while I did ask Mr. Baker to explain it, I do support the 5% increase. And like Lee alluded to before, Mr. Jenkins and his guys really work well with us. And if you were to give him 7%, I think you're still getting a bargain. If we were to put this out to bid, you aren't going to meet those prices.
Right.
Our feeling is, or my feeling is, you will not meet those prices. So I support the 5%. If you were to choose to give 7%, I don't think that would be outside of good business practice either.
Well, you didn't look too happy when I asked you that 5% coverage. You kind of ducked and said yes. So does the 5% cover you or not? Honestly.
No.
Okay. We don't want you doing this for free. We want you to be able to make it, and I know what gas prices have gone up, and labor costs and everything else. We just want you to be content with what you're doing. In fact, we've looked at maybe adding some more work to it. You just got too much time on your hands. All right, so we've got, we can either make a motion to go to 5, or we can make a motion to go to 7, or if anybody wants something different, speak now.
He's got to pay his bills, too. I'll make a motion to move to 7.
Go to 7?
7, sure.
Do we have a second?
Gotcha.
A motion, a second. Any further discussion? Call for a vote, please.
Yusuf?
Yes, ma'am.
Dale?
Yes.
Braun?
Yes.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
We appreciate the job you're doing. We really do. Next, item number 5.
Excuse me, Mayor.
No.
4.
Consider the contract. What? No. Consider adoption resolution adopting the emergency operations plan and emergency preparedness guidelines.
Yes. Chief, you want to explain the, I think by that look you don't want to explain. So, Mayor, if that's all right with you, I'm going to give you a brief explanation. So that we stay aligned with all our emergency services providers in the region and in the state, it behooves us to have an emergency operation plan. In a way, we went more or less by this emergency operation plan during the last snow event. The staff met together as a group. Because it wasn't an all-hands-on-deck event, we didn't have to follow every single thing that was in here. We didn't have to open shelters and those types of things. But this plan contemplates what we would do in the event we have any type of disaster, however it may come upon us, what the staff will do to keep the city functioning. We also will use this as part of our, as Westminster's part of the Oconee County and Anderson County Joint Natural Hazard Mitigation Plan, and it also goes to the state so that the state also sees that we have at the very least, thought enough to document what we would do in the event of an emergency. It also helps with us when we apply. Last year, we applied to the Federal Emergency Management Association for backup generators for our utility system, and we had to submit a version of this plan. Again, state and federal agencies and even the public want to know that we've got a plan in place should a disaster hit us again, however it may come. And this is how we would intend to address it, as you see documented here. And the chief is here, even though he didn't want to explain that right away, because I called him. I called him without telling him I was going to call on him. So he or I will be happy to answer any questions you have.
Any questions? So we need a motion to adopt a resolution. Any further discussion? Call for a vote, please.
Braun?
Yes.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Yusuf?
Yes, ma'am.
Dale?
Yes, ma'am.
Next, item number 5, discuss the Municipal Association of South Carolina Model Personnel Policy Handbook.
Yes, sir. Mr. Mayor, this I'm asking you for feedback, not just today, but maybe at a subsequent council meeting. Our personnel policy handbook that has been modified a number of times over the years, and as a result, when you look at it, it's a patchwork of a number of policies and a number of ideas, some of which come close to contradicting one another. The Municipal Association has developed this model policy using the same labor attorneys that we use, the Genlat, Savis, and Bettis. I should get credit for being able to say all three of those names in Grove. they developed this for small cities because often it's very costly to employ a labor attorney to write this from scratch. There are, as you read through the document in italics, there are often, or on almost every provision, there is an explanation as to why each provision is written. This is compliant with state law. We believe it's also compliant with federal law, unless there's been any court cases passed within the last few months. And so the reason that I bring it to you tonight is because I think it would be best for our staff if we had a policy that was far more succinct than the current one we have. I'll not tiptoe around the fact that this city and this council have contemplated the, I've got the wrong phrase in my head, but have contemplated the nepotism policy. And within this document on page 7, it addresses nepotism. And it gives you an explanation as to why nepotism is best avoided. The language as it reads, I would support as your administrator as it's crafted. There are other provisions in here that we've recently amended that would need to be incorporated in here. For instance, the overtime policy that we adopted for our crews. In one way or another, we were, I don't want to say we were shortchanging them, but we really weren't paying them. If they hadn't worked a 40-hour work week and they got called in on the weekend, they had to work 8 hours until they made up the 40 hours before they could get paid overtime, even if they had taken paid time off. Well, you guys passed a policy that allows them to get paid overtime if they took a day off and they get called in the weekend after. We think that more fairly, did I get that right?
Holidays,
oh.
The PTO time is not covered overtime, just holidays.
Thank you, that's why I need Lee in the room whenever I start talking. So we think that more fairly compensates the employees when they're working on those holidays, not the weekends.
So we would need to change that part
in
here?
So we would need to incorporate that in here. You also did another provision. I can't remember off the top of my head right now that I think would be appropriate to put in here, and we did it about the same time that you did the holiday overtime. But other than those two things, I would support this as it's written. The final thing for that I will need to get back to you with a definitive answer on, and I will have to consult the labor attorney on, if we have less than 50 full-time employees or 50 employees to which we direct their daily work, we are not required to have FMLA coverage. I believe the first paragraph in this document, or somewhere within the first few pages, the attorney advises, if you aren't required to do it by state or federal law, it's best not to do it. So there is language within this document that would account for an employee that needs to be off that would typically be covered under FMLA if we were over 50 employees. But in essence, what it does is it gives your administrator a lot of discretion in making those choices. I think you got a first-rate administrator who's always going to make great choices. But I'm biased in that regard. There is a little bit of, I'll say there's risk for you in that you're putting that choice in my hands versus it being a definitive state or federal policy. Again, I'm going to endeavor to always make the best decisions, but it does become something that's discretionary on my part as your administrator rather than something that is prescribed in state or federal law. Again, that's incorporated in the language of this draft that you see. So with that, I'm interested in knowing what your thoughts are, if you're interested in adopting it. I don't have an answer for you today to tell you whether or not we would suggest you adopt it by resolution or by ordinance. My inclination is that you do it by ordinance, by resolution. I went on the head nod from Andrew.
Yeah.
that you do it by resolution, because I'm thinking we talked about that, Andrew, because that's the way you've done it in the past. So with that, I'll stop talking and I'm ready to listen.
If we adopt it by ordinance, it makes it harder to change it, correct? And that's been the problem in the past with the resolution. You get a different council, they just change it in one meeting. If we have an ordinance, it requires two, correct?
Correct. It would be my suggestion, though, that it's probably better not to codify it in your ordinances.
Better to be a resolution?
That would be my suggestion.
That way we can go in and modify it as needed?
Correct.
Okay.
And if I'm recalling correctly, based on our conversation, I believe the vast majority of the times it has been done by resolution in the past.
Yeah, we've done it. Westminster's done it both ways.
Yeah.
But I think Andrew's, my recollection is the same, that you have done it by resolution.
Well, we've made changes over time because of issues with different employees. So we were able to do it in one meeting. And then the FMLA, that came up a time or two. So.
I think we probably also, we may need to do kind of a hand-in-hand ordinance that goes through our ordinances and strips out the reference to it, except to say that, you know, pursuant to the policy manual, then in effect. I think there's the potential for some contradictory language, but I'm not 100% on that because I haven't dug through the ordinances specifically as to that issue recently. So that's been a year or so.
Do you want us to take a month to look over this and come back next month
with
a resolution?
If you're good with me putting on the March agenda it as an action item, I can. If we get to March and you aren't ready to make a decision, you can just defer action.
All right.
Does that make
sense?
You scowled at me when I said that, so I wasn't sure if that was okay.
I always scowl.
Oh, you always can. So we'll plan to do that. And if you guys have any questions of me or Andrew, or if you would like to speak with the labor attorney, I'll be happy to set that up. And we will incorporate the changes. I'll try and get it out ahead of your regular council agenda so you can look at it and give us any feedback that you'll have. And I'll also make sure I pass it amongst the directors to make sure we aren't going to recommend some other small tune, but for the most part, this is a really good for policy.
Well, this gives us time to look it over. Any further questions on that? All right, move on to routine business. Approval of January 24 call meeting with the Planning Commission meeting. Has everybody had an opportunity to look over those? Do we have a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Second. Call for a vote, please.
Ron?
Yes.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Dale?
Yes.
Yusuf?
Yes.
Next item, approval of January 27 call meeting minutes. Has everybody had an opportunity to look at those? It'll take longer to read the minutes than the meeting went on. Do we have a motion?
Second.
Motion is second. Call for a vote, please.
Brian?
Yes.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Yusuf?
Yes.
Dale?
Yes.
Next on the agenda, comments from the utility director, Mr. Baker.
Thank you. Keep it short and sweet. Water plant sludge pumps, you guys approved that for the bid, ARP money. That's going tomorrow. Start working on that. They're here. They actually gained pretty good time on those. So they'll be going in tomorrow. Water and sewer continue to address issues on both Hall Road. We've had two more breaks, I think, since our, even our last meeting, which was a couple weeks ago. Or was that interim meeting? First of March, we're starting to talk a little bit, but Mr. Rozier and his group is working on the bid for that right now. We have a pre-bid meeting set up, so by March's meeting, we should have all that in our hand, cost, and we can present it to you guys and see if it comes in. We're hoping it comes in. The pipe bursting, I'm meeting him Monday, because due to weather, we couldn't get that pipe bursting you guys approved down here on the end of basically most of it drops down to that house being possibly constructed down in that corner. That's, we've worked on that three times, I know, trying to patch as we went, so that'll fix that problem permanently. So he'll be here Monday, I imagine Tuesday, Wednesday he'll be buttoned up and it'll be done. Real minor work there, just one little piece of road, the rest is across the field. I'm going to remove some trees over there shortly after. Public Works Solid Waste, Anderson Park, repairs been made. There's a creek that comes down there, and we have some serious water. It keeps picking away at our park fence. So Todd, we went over and looked at that. We put some riprap in there, some larger rock to hold that. We'll see what this winter does, but I think it would be beneficial to get some large culvert it from where, from a straight, we're supposed to bend and straighten that out, fix it once and for all, because my fear is we get a big rain, we're all busy, and then a kid comes out there, or a dog or something, goes under the fence and gets in that creek. But for right now, we've made repairs. We put dirt back over that to smooth it, so the tripping hazard kind of goes away as well. But it's going to be a constant battle until we see what the rain does, but at least it won't. It's the size of the fence, there's no undercut anymore. Electric and veg. Veg is taking out a lot of tops of trees and stuff like that, and go down I guess it's South Spring Street. If you go to the bottom of the hill on the right, all those trees are leaning over to reach our line. They're out, they're cut down now. We cut some other ones down. He worked on out Kakoa Highway today on a line. Did some work on North Alexander. Right there where the other crew was working there to kind of watch. And we're working on new business. We changed like four poles in the last 2 weeks. We're continuing to do that. And that's pretty much all I have, unless you have any questions for me.
What's the time frame on Hall Street? That Hall Street, when do you think that could possibly get done?
I think it'll depend on material. It's all gonna be ductile iron. We're not going back with any PVC on Main. So I think that's pretty much, you know, hopefully this summer by fall. Mm-hmm. If the bid gets out, gets awarded, they start purchasing, because it's 6-inch ductile, so it's not like it's a real hard one to get. It's just that it's hard, everything's hard to get right now. But what I do is once we get that bid going out and we get it resolved and you guys bless it and we can push it through, then I'll keep in contact and I'll update you. Because I don't know, until they go out and actually purchase how much it is. And I'm sure the pre-bid, I'm going to hear some, you know, you're 6 months out, you're 2 months out, whatever. And I can let you guys know, because I have no idea, because it seems like you're to my guess, you got to double it.
Now we've got a water line, a pop-off going out there now, bleeding off pressure.
Blow off.
You got one going now?
We have. So I tried to manipulate that a little bit to save water on several of them. That one right there, I cut it back, like most of them are 4 hours a day. It just keeps the water fresh, right? We cut it down to like, I think 12 hours a day. We had 3 main breaks that week.
Gotcha.
It's full flow, never stops. Because if we don't, It keeps breaking our main. So once that happens, then we'll go to a timer again where we're going to say, I did the math on it once. It's 700,000 gallons a year or something comes out of that pipe or something like that. It's crazy. That one piece of pipe never stops running. So that'll cut us down, you know, to hardly anything compared to what we're paying now for that. Yeah. Not counting the probably millions of gallons we've lost out there, all the water breaks.
Right.
Because that's a 6-inch line. It's not counting damage to property and everything else. Yeah, it's been.
I've just had some questions about it. That's what I told them. It's a relief of pressure.
Yeah, and that'll go away once. It won't go away permanently, but it'll go away where it's not. Because if it rains a bunch, to your point, from a concern, and the water's on it constantly, it does cause
right.
A water pool type thing.
All right. Any more questions, Mr. Baker? All right, Mr. Bronson, you have the floor.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, I'm going to run down the 3 items that I put on the agenda for you. We had planned to have 2 strategic planning meetings to put together a strategic plan for this year and possibly to carry forward in the years. But with the resignation of the council members and the fact that you will have 3 new members
coming up. We postponed the first meeting. The second meeting was scheduled to be for February the 15th. I postponed that as well with the Jeff Shacker from Municipal Association. The idea being that once you guys are a full council again, seven members, we would reschedule that and allow the new members to participate in what that would be. I just want to make sure that you guys are okay with that.
Yes.
The item number B, status report of the audit for the automated meter infrastructure, the AMI fee. Originally, I had committed to having an audit report for you for this month. Two things that I misspoke on when I way over committed ourselves to that. One, we have not concluded the billing for AMI. Through the end of February, the fee is still applied. And that goes from what you passed in the ordinance to remove it. So it doesn't come off until around the 1st of March for the next billing cycle. So we have not finished collecting the revenue on it for us to be able to complete the audit, to be able to turn it over to you and say, here's what was collected, here's what was spent. The second part of that is, in speaking with, let me take one step back. I spoke with Jason White, who is our contract accountant that helps us make sure we do the debits and credits and everything correctly in the general ledger. And Jason agreed to help us pull this information together for you. However, Jason cannot issue you, and this is based off of CPA rules that I'm certain I'm not going to get the nomenclature right. He cannot issue to you an audit opinion or an independent audit opinion on this because he is our contract accountant. The group that can is our annual auditors, which is McKinley Cooper. And Jason, who I spoke with today just to make sure the information was fresh in my mind, he has spoken with Cheryl Metters, and you may recall Cheryl is who presented the audit to us the last 2 years. And she has agreed to write the final opinion. And so the way it works is we will gather all the data at City Hall that we think applies. We'll send it to Jason. Jason will go through that, and he'll either kick some of it out or he'll ask us for more information, very similar to how a regular audit goes. Then he will take and compile that data, and he will give it to Cheryl, who will validate the independent nature of the review. So she will, without any other obligations to us other than being our auditor, she'll issue you a letter, and Jason said it's usually like a two-page succinct type of letter for these types of engagements that says, my impression is what we'll say is, here's what was collected and here's what was spent against what was collected. So if there's any amount that we collected that was beyond what we spent on the system, that amount will be made clear in the report that Cheryl gives you. From then, if you choose to refund or credit or keep the money, well, any of those things are options available to you as a council, you would then make that decision. So my anticipation, I'll step back one more time, I'll keep stepping back. So the second thing that slowed us down was the staff reorganization that we did at City Hall. We just had to get everybody resituated and settled, and so we got behind in pulling the data that we needed to do this to get it to Jason. I think we'll be back on schedule within the next couple of days now that we're situated. So I anticipate this report being complete by the March 8th deadline or by the March 8th council meeting. If there is some caveat to it, it would be for any amount of AMI fees that were billed but not collected. So a very brief scenario in that is we bill someone for their February usage, but they're late on their payment, or they don't pay. That is, in essence, kind of suspended out there in the midst of your report. I anticipate, after talking with Jason today, that there'll be some small caveat. We can calculate what the largest amount of that would be, that there'll be a footnote or a caveat that tells you that that's what the footnote or the caveat would be. So I wanted to see if you are okay with that game plan.
When does the rate increase go on for outside customers?
in the beginning of March. So I always kind of, I don't like to give a specific date because it depends on the billing cycle, but right around the beginning of March.
So the AMI will come off before that increase goes in effect?
They come off and go on at the same time.
Okay.
So 1 month is the AMI fee and no increase. The next month is no AMI with the increase if you're outside customer.
Okay.
It all AMI goes off to get, it goes off altogether for the city and the outside.
It goes off for everybody.
All right.
The last item that I have for you, and I put it in the packet, and if anybody here is interested in seeing it, it's also available on the city website. I do a weekly administrator's report, and I put this at the end of the administrator report. If you go to our website, just Google administrator report. I know the press really likes my administrator report. I put in your packet the notice for the special called election. Now that you have officially accepted Mr. Cater's resignation, Andrew worked with the election, Oconee County Election Commission's office. They have put together a full notice and a full process for conducting the special election, which includes when people can file, what the beginning and closing dates of those that filing is, when the election will be held, which will be April the 26th, with a certification date planned for April the 28th. So the 26th is a Tuesday, the 28th is the following Thursday, meaning that should we have three people, and I say should we, because you could have a tie in one of those situations, depending on how many people run, we should be able to swear in the three new members of council the following week, if you guys and they choose to do that. So I said all that to say, in your packet is what will be advertised in the Seneca Journal by the Election Commission office to notify the general public of the special election, and it will more or less be the same. It'll include the filing date, everything that anyone who chooses to run would need to know. I spoke with the staff about the expense. They are going to work, I think, just as diligently as they always do to keep the expenses low. We will have to pay for poll managers, and we will have to reimburse them for any staff time they spent putting this together, and we will reimburse them for the cost of the advertisement. That's going to be most of the expense in those three things. There could be some other incidentals that come in, but they will send us a bill for it. They're going to work hard to keep the cost as low as possible. They didn't expect that it would cost any more than a regular election, but I don't have what that price is at this point.
All right. So for those in here who are interested, February 18th through February 28th, that's the filing dates.
Mayor and Council, that's all my all that I have.
That's it. Anybody have anything else?
I've got one question.
Go ahead.
Hey, Chief Patterson, I need to put you on the spot, not asking for details or anything like that. We read where our officers had to put somebody in their vest or resisting arrest, stuff like that. Are our officers okay?
Ask your question again.
In the paper, they said that there was arrest made where there was a resisting arrest involved. A charge.
You know who
involved.
It was? It wasn't one from last night.
No.
The shooting incident. We had a little incident when they were charged with resisting, but it was very minor.
Okay. So everybody's okay?
Right.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
All right. At this time, we need a motion to go into executive session.
Mayor, would you mind reading why we go into executive session, just so anybody that...
If you hadn't typed out a two-page paragraph, I would.
Well, it
executive, you want the whole thing read?
Well, I think if you just read the last
highlight
sentence
it.
There.
All right, my crib notes are executive session for discussion of Oconee Joint Regional Sewer Authority legal advice concerning concerning threatened litigation, and upon return to regular session, we may or may not take action.
And Mayor, real quick, the way we wrote it on the agenda is that you're going into executive session to discuss potential contractual matters. The city attorney will be in the room. We did not include it as legal advice, but just a discussion of the potential contractual matters.
There, what he said. Got it? Yeah. So we have a motion going to executive session.
Motion. We have
a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank y'all for coming. Hey, we've been here since 4 o'clock. Bear with us. I stove up now. I'm locked up. I'm hungry.
Okay, I already did it. Oh, thank you.